It's good to be in church with everyone here. I'm talking about something today that I feel is very life-changing, life-transforming. And it's not something that normally we would think of as a life-changing or life-transforming thing. But I'm excited to speak about it. We're in our fourth week of a series, and it's the last week of a series that we've been calling First Things First. Next week, we're starting a new series called Wonder Women. Can I get a hey? I hear the pitch of that cheer. The girls are all like, I want to be a Wonder Woman. I'm coming. And the guys are like, I'm not coming to church anymore. Whatever. First we sing songs, and now they're talking about women. It's going to be really good. And in fact, after next week, after it's going to take a little bit of a different spin than you might have anticipated. Maybe you won't want to be a Wonder Woman after next week. But it's going to be really fun. And this came out of a conversation I had with Pastor Allen, and then literally the next day had with Crystal, who's teaching at Gilardi and some of our Common College stuff. And just really amazing what God has done with the genealogy of the Bible and the women that he's chosen to land in the genealogy of Jesus. It's awesome. There's a little tidbit, a little sneak peek, if you will. But we've been going through First Things First, and the first week we talked about the priority of what would it look like if we would fast and pray first in the year. And so from very day one, it was great. We had Sunday, January 1st was a Sunday, so we started here and we said, hey, why don't we give up 3 weeks of something? Let's fast and pray and seek God and see if we can't turn our hearts over to him in a greater way and open our ears to him in a greater way. And I don't know, has anyone been to any of the worship and prayer nights in the last little while? They've been awesome. It's been incredible. I really feel like there's a shift taking place in our whole church as we seek God and allow him to speak, which is what we want to do with our lives. And so we said first things first, first of the year, fast and pray. Then first of the month, we talked about tithing and giving. And then it was good. I thought it was a life-giving time. And you can check that out again online if you want to see more about where we stand on some of that stuff. Then the next week, which was last week, we said, the first of the week, let's talk about gathering and worshiping together. Let's talk about what it means to be the gathered people, to be the local church, not just a bunch of Christians doing our own thing somewhere, but the local gathering where we worship and praise God. What does that start to look like in our lives? Is what we talked about last week. So first of the year, fast and pray. First of the month, tithe and give. First of the week, gather and worship. And then first of the day, read your Bible. Life-changing, hey? Told you. Everyone just zzz. Sometimes people shut off when we talk about reading the Bible. People start to say, oh, yeah, I've heard that message before. No, thank you. I've heard it before. I've read the Bible. It's not that fun. It's not that nice. It's not that great. Honestly, I am believing, and today more than ever, that there is something life-transforming about our investment into studying the Bible, into digging into the Bible in a daily way. Let me read to you a verse from Romans 12:2. Actually, first let me explain to you what happened. On this last Thursday night, if you were there, you knew that at the end of the night, kind of, my sweet Kendall, my wife, came up on stage and she started just sharing a word that was laid on her heart about anxiety, especially, and worry, and how we're meant to breathe that out and then breathe in what God has for us. And for whatever reason, after that, I had this verse that's been on my mind for years, but I haven't talked about it in a while. It's Romans 12:2. And it follows this really great verse on worship, which is what we were at a worship night that night. It says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. But it was the next verse that really grabbed my heart, that I felt like really this was what we wanted to hold on to. And it's Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. I really believe it. We're going to be transformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We don't just come come to bad patterns on our own of thinking. It doesn't just happen all of a sudden. We just have really negative thoughts and we're really terrible and I'm ugly and I'm not that smart and I'm not that good and this is a pattern that we've learned from living. It's a pattern that we've learned from studying culture and studying marketing and studying Facebook and studying when we're on. And I know you say, I don't study it. I just go on. I just go on Facebook. I just go on Instagram. I just see the billboards. I just see the buses driving by. I just see the internet marketing. I just see all of those things. I don't really study them, but we're constantly learning new patterns and new ways of thinking. We're learning what is beautiful. We're learning what is right. We're learning what is wealthy. When you go on Pinterest, you know, you learn that you have to DIY 35 million things a year or you're not that good at anything in life. You know, now this is what a home needs to look like. It's got to have this decoration on top of this decoration on top of this decoration. And then you got to stick all of these things in here. And by the way, you dust everything and you have four lovely, beautiful children just happily around you. Like we have this pattern of thinking that makes us feel like terrible parents. And terrible decorators, and terrible homekeepers, and terrible cooks, and terrible whatever. And we start to look around culture, and we have all sorts of shortcomings all over in our life that we realize that the pattern of thinking we have has brought us down. The pattern of thinking that we have has caused us to feel less than we should feel about ourselves. I was in youth ministry for a number of years before I was in youth ministry, then an associate pastor, and then I came here and was the lead pastor. At the beginning of youth ministry, I felt like I didn't see a number of certain issues that I saw by the end of youth ministry. It wasn't all that long that I was in, and I saw a shift take place where everyone had a problem by the end of the time I was there. Everyone said they had a problem. What's wrong? It's anxiety, or it's depression, or it's eating disorders, or self-harm, or I do that. Everyone's got these things that they're holding on to, that they're stuck in, that they're hung up on, that they can't get past. Everyone seems to be stuck somewhere. I'm looking on thinking, what is going on? How is this happening? Why does it feel like all of this stuff is on the rise and everything's going up? And I want to suggest something, and this isn't statistically, I haven't studied this for a long time, but there's one other thing that's on the rise right now as this is on the rise. And while anxiety and depression and eating disorders and self-harm and self-hate and bullying and all of these things are on the rise, so is biblical illiteracy. Less and less people know what the Bible says. Less and less people read the Bible or study the Bible. Less and less people want to know how to get into it and read it and check it out and let it fill them up. Less and less people want to have their mind renewed by this. And as both are rising like this, I start to wonder if potentially one started dipping, would the other? If potentially we started having some biblically literate people who read the Bible and took time in the Bible and learned the Bible and studied it and got to know the characters and the people and the stories and the testimonies and all of this stuff, if we had people starting to do that on a greater capacity, would we start to see less anxiety and depression and eating disorders and self-harm and self-hate? I wonder. Because we have all sorts of different ways of coping with things, you know? And it feels like they don't work sometimes. Or we try that, oh, you know what? I don't really need the Bible because, well, I'm getting counseled. I've got someone good that I'm talking to and they're counseling me and it feels good and so it's okay. I'll just go ahead and keep doing that. Or maybe it's you just have a friend and as long as I talk to this friend, it's okay and they help me. Or maybe it's medication. Or as long as I have this medication, or maybe we're self-medicating with alcohol or drugs, we say, you know, as long as this is happening, I can feel okay, and it's all working out. I'm figuring all of that sort of portion of my life out, and yet we just can't seem to get past it. We keep being stuck in that same place. We can't seem to move on and get to the next stage in life. We're stuck. Why is this not working? Could it be that the solution is right before us and we just haven't tried it? A little while ago, I was sick. I was on stage speaking, And I was having a rough day that day. I don't know if my nose was, it's one of these colds that lasts for about 7 years, you know? Everyone had one of those colds lately? It just feels like, okay, now I'm done with that part, and now this part starts, and now I'm done with that part, and now the same part that was done is back, and okay, now my nose, and it's just like, what is going on? Then if you have a family, it's like, okay, I'm good, you're bad, you're good, oh, now you're bad, back to me. Okay, here we go, tag. And so it just feels like we just can't get well, you know? Anyways, I was up here speaking and feeling sick, and we have a friend here in church, his name's George, he's not this George. If, in case all of a sudden there's going to be a standing ovation burst. Oh, yeah, George! I know George! Anyways, that's George. Still George. Amen. But there's another George, Fisherman George, George English. And he came up to me one day and when I was sick. He said, hey, you know what you need? I said, what? Onion juice. I'm like, no. Thank you. Doesn't sound good at all. And he says, yeah, you need onion juice. And I'm like, okay, what are you talking about, George? And he says, okay, this is all you do, as if it's the simplest thing ever. What you do is you take 4 onions, you cut them up, you put them in a pot. Then you take some garlic, a whole head, cut it up, put it in the pot. You take some ginger, cut it up, put it in the pot. You pour off over this much water, you boil it all up, simmer it for this long. And I'm like, okay. This sounds nasty, but okay, I'll keep going. He says, you sieve it all, put it back in. Now honey, apple cider vinegar, lemon juice. And I'm just like, this is nasty, George. What are you talking about? He says, once it's all done, all you got to do is drink that in the morning and the night. The cold is gone. And I'm like, thank you. See you later. Go home and it's Buckley's and Ricola and sleep. You know, these are the classic ones. And essential oils. Can I get an amen? No? Okay. Some people are like, he said essential oils. And some people are like, oh, I'm so tired of it. Anyways, essential oils, we've got them. We've got diffusers going. And I'm like, I breathe it in. I got to get rid of this thing. I come back the next Sunday. And I'm still sick. And George says, you didn't drink your onion juice, did you? I'm like, no. I didn't drink onion juice, and no sane human should, George. So, and he said, no, you gotta get the onion juice, make it up. I'm like, okay, I'll make it up this week. That week passes. I didn't get to the onion juice. I show up to church again. I'm still sick. He said, why are you still sick? You should have drinking the onion juice. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Sorry that I didn't drink the onion juice. Well, later on that week, he shows up with 2 buckets into the office. You drink the onion juice, you know. Okay, I'll drink the onion juice, George. Well, I went home, I drank the onion juice, like, you know. I drank the onion juice, and it was literally like 3 or 4 days, and my cold was gone. It was crazy. Isn't it funny that the solution can often be right there, we just won't take it. We won't go after it. Well, there's got to be a different way. There's got to be something else. For me, I was like, there's got to be a different way than having bad breath for the next, like, year. which he promised it wouldn't, and it actually didn't give me bad breath. It's kind of crazy. But I'm thinking, I don't want to have to drink onion juice to get rid of this. There's better tasting things. There's better things. But I had to drink onion juice. Sometimes that's how we treat the Bible. I don't want to have to get the truth in my head. I don't want to have to think that way. I don't want to have to get it all sorted out. I don't want, like, that's just too hard. I'd rather talk to someone, or I'd rather do this, or I'd rather do that. I don't want to have to go into the Bible and someone says to you, hey, you should just read the Bible, and think, that doesn't work. I've tried it before. I've read the Bible. I did this thing where I opened the Bible and I pointed to a verse, and I looked at it and said, when David was told Uriah did not go home yet, and it didn't work. So I don't believe in the Bible anymore. I don't think I need the Bible. The Bible's just full of old rules and all of that stuff. And when a pastor starts talking about the Bible, you sort of shut down and say, it doesn't really matter for me. I don't need that thing. Just like I didn't need onion juice. But I really believe that God is saying to us that we need our minds renewed. That we need to start thinking new about things. We need to start thinking differently than we have thought before about where we're at. That today I was thinking the quality of your life is determined by your perspective on it. You know, your quality of life may be really rotten, but you can look at it and say, God is good. And I can face this. And I'm an overcomer. And I can take this on. Or your quality of life can be really good to everyone else's standards, and you can be the most miserable person ever. What is that? How is it that someone can be rich and famous and have all that they need and have every little piece, have everyone love them and look to them and care about them and all of the stuff, and they can be so miserable? And then a guy walking up a dusty road carrying a cross with whip marks on his back, blood dripping down his face, betrayed by everyone he knows, carrying his own cross to his own death, could be saying, "For the joy set before me, I endured this. Now forgive them all, God." What is it that does that? I'll tell you, it's not a counselor. Counseling's fine, but it's not a counselor. It's not medication. Medication can sometimes be a great tool, but it's not medication. It's not just chatting with your friends. He had none. They left. God does that. And God wants to renew our mind by allowing us entrance into the book that he gave to us. He wants us to study it and learn it. It takes a pattern to develop bad thinking. Well, God wants us to create a pattern that will develop good thinking. You have to work for bad thinking. You have to look at a lot of things and study a lot of things. If you've learned to hate yourself, that didn't come naturally. God didn't give you a hate for yourself. You learned that all by yourself. You started looking at things and deciding that you weren't making it. You couldn't cut it. You weren't good enough. You weren't this. You weren't that. Maybe someone said something to you. It wasn't God, but someone said something to you and said, "You're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're not capable. You're not smart enough." Whatever it was, or maybe they gave up on you, or they left you, or they hurt you, whatever it was, and you've decided that you're not worthy anymore. God never put that in you. You've developed that pattern of thinking all by yourself. Now God is saying, come on, develop a new pattern of thinking that would allow you to see with my eyes the life that you live. I want you to see with my eyes who you are, and see with my eyes the circumstances around you. I want you to see with my eyes what I think of the Comox Valley. I want you to know me. And so he said to Moses at one point in Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 20, he says, "Moses, I've given you some rules, I've given you some laws, I've given you some things to live by." And he says, "Now fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads." Pretty hilarious. I need to put the words of God on my forehead. I could get more words than a lot of you guys could. "Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates." I think this is kind of crazy that he says write them on your door frames and your gates. You know what that means? That means God knows that between your gate and your door frame, you're going to have a chance to pick up another pattern again. To pick up an old pattern again. You walk in the gate. "Oh, God loves me. I can live for him. Awesome. La, la, la. I hate myself. I can't believe I do this. Someone doesn't like me. I've done something wrong." Door frame. "Oh, yeah, right. Okay." And God has taught us that. And he's reminded them, you're not good at thinking positively. You're not good at thinking with the truth. You're not good at having my words in your heart. So put them everywhere. Plaster them on everything. Put them on your door frames and on the gate and on the house and on your mirror and on the this and on that and on your shoe and on your whatever you need to do. Put them there so that you can study, you can learn, you can get it. So first of the day, study the Bible. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy," what are we supposed to do? "Think about such things." Think about them. Use your brain. Yeah, but I'll just I'll just pray about things. And so, sometimes to get good thinking, we think we just need to pray or go to a conference or go to something like this. God's saying, I've given you a brain. You've trained it to think badly. I want you to train it to think positively. Stop conforming to the patterns that you've set and to the worldly patterns and start being renewed daily by the study of the Bible. Pattern of amen. Hey, we're going there. Let's go there. I want to take you through setting up a new pattern. Four steps that I believe would help you set up a pattern of study. First one is repetition. First step is repetition. Just do it over and over and over. Read the Bible over and over and over. Just open it, read it. And you might say, well, where should I read? Yeah, that's a good thought, and we can talk about that more. What should I read? What should it look like? But I want to tell you that for sure, just the act of reading is a win. Just the act of opening this thing and getting into it is a win. Sometimes you think, well, I've just read 3 chapters, and I do not remember one thing I just read. I've been there. Just do it anyways. If we believe that the spiritual work that we're doing, spiritual work that we need, spiritual renewal that we need in our mind, then we better believe that just the act of opening this book is a spiritual move. We just have to open it. It's not like your mind is going to save you anyways. God's going to save you. So if your mind doesn't get it, there's a lot of things your mind doesn't get. Me too, just so we're all clear. And if we don't get it, we don't understand what we read, we can't figure it out, that's okay. Go back again. Go back again. Go back again. Sometimes you open it up and think, that thing doesn't apply to my life. It doesn't matter even if it doesn't apply to your life. That's good to be in things that do apply to your life. But the point is, go back to it, go back to it, go back to it, go back to it. Day after day after day after day, first of the day, every day, get in the Bible and study it. Just keep going back to it. All of a sudden, your mind will start being trained to see things through this lens rather than the lens that we've been trained to see them through everything else. There's no neutral, you know. We can't just neutrally see the world. We either see it through the lens that we've been taught to see it through, which is the cultural lens, or we start to see it through the lens which God wants us to have, where we learn to see it a new way when we study the Bible. So repetition. The second one is this, concentration. I don't know about you, but this is hard for me right now. Concentration is difficult. It means focusing yourself on one task. And I know how it goes. You sort of start to, it's like you feel like you open your Bible and all of a sudden you become the most productive person you ever have been. Oh, I opened my Bible. Hey, I should email those 7 people and get back to all of those things and clean the house and make dinner and put together a shopping list and do all of that stuff. Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Lord. We'll be back soon. I want to encourage you, you should read the Bible with something, a pad of paper beside you, and it says, and it comes to your head, oh, email that person. Email that person. Oh, grocery list. Oh, this and that. And just write it down and leave it alone. Get back to your reading. Leave it aside. Don't turn on the TV. Sometimes I see, I've actually sort of done this before in my life. Don't tell anyone. But where I'm like, God, I do need to read the Bible. Okay, I haven't really, yeah, but I also need to watch some TV. So there's commercials, you know. I'll turn this on, we'll be back to the Bible here, TV, back. Let's just mix it all in life. It doesn't matter, it's all good. Turn off the TV, you know. Turn off your cell phone. Put it away from you for a while. I don't know how many people say, oh, I've got a reading plan on my phone. Yeah, that's great. And so I'm just going to do that in the morning. Yeah, that's great. So you turn on your phone in the morning, and then you have all these Facebook notifications and Instagram things. You got to quickly check Pinterest and do all those things. Leave your phone somewhere else and grab a Bible like this or a book that you can read so you can be focused on it. Repetition, concentration. Start to renew your mind. Start to change your mind. Third one is comprehension. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Knowing the truth will set you free. You understand it. You get to know it. You get to, it's not just truth is there and now you're free. I know it. I'm experiencing it. I believe it. I recognize it. I can actually start to see. I understand what is going on. Comprehension, it talks about sometimes the interpretation of Scripture and actually starting to understand what the author is trying to say. Many of us, especially us classically charismatic kind of Christians, decide that the Bible is all just about a quick application. I just need a quick word. That's all I need. Let's just flip it open. Let me see here where many people had gathered and were praying. Gather and pray. Let's go find a group, you know. And that's just sort of the way we think about the Bible. I just need a word. I'll just hold on to that one word, and that will be for the rest of my life, and that will be good. That will be my Scripture, and it will be awesome. And then all of a sudden, we just start throwing that word at people with judgment, and we don't understand how that word fits into the context of the whole Bible. And all of a sudden, there's been a lot of things that have been done because of how someone understood the Bible that have hurt a lot of people. Seriously. Or we decide, you know what, I'm just going to read the Bible, and you read through the Old Testament, and you can see lots of deaths, you can see Israelites killing people, you can see all that stuff. You can decide, you know what, that better be what Christians do. Yeah, it says it in the Bible, da-da-da-da-da. We got to figure out what this actually means. We got to read this thing like we actually understand something, like we actually care about it. We got to study it. We need to learn it. We need to take it in. We need to figure out who's the author? Who's that person writing to? What are they writing for? What's the purpose? Because the Bible was written for us, but not to us. It was written so that we might learn from it, but it wasn't written to us so that here, Pastor Evan, like 4,000 years from now, I want to tell you about your culture. No, they don't know. They can't tell me about what's going on here. So what are we supposed to take? How are we supposed to understand? We need to dig in a little bit like this, because we're messing things up still. We're still hurting people that we shouldn't be hurting. We're still throwing judgment around way more than we should be throwing judgment around. We're still really doing some bad things sometimes. It's because we've become biblically illiterate often. So repetition, just keep coming back to it. Concentration, turn everything off. Comprehension, try to understand what it's talking about. And then finally, reflection. Okay, now that I know what the author meant, now that I know what it's saying, now that I know what was going on there, okay, God, I get it. Now what am I supposed to take from this? And what do you want me to do with it, God? How do you want me to handle this? Sometimes we start there. We skip all the rest because we just want to know how we're supposed to be good Christians. But we got to put some time and some effort into this. We got to slog through some of the challenging parts of Scripture, because in doing that, in itself, is going to renew your mind. It's going to start to transform your life. It's going to allow you to see things in a new way. If you want to see things in a new way, you have to gain a new perspective. So you can't go look at this with your perspective and say, good enough, I guess I'll just read this with my lens, and with my lens, then I'll leave and I'll just make it say what I wanted it to say. We need to go in and say, God, what are you saying? And once you've said it, okay, probably going to rock your world a bit. Now what do I do with that, God? Not, God, can you just remind me why you're going to serve me for my whole life? Oh yeah, there, it says it right there. I'll carry on as I'm going. That's broken. What does it say? What's the Bible teaching you? What are you learning? You've got to approach this thing humbly. If you know everything, you're not going to learn anything. If you're not going to learn anything, close your Bible. Because you're just going to try to confirm all the things that you shouldn't be holding on to anyways, all the truths that aren't for you. You should just close the Bible if you're not willing to learn. If you're willing to learn, open the Bible. I've been a Christian for quite a number of years. And I've been, in my teen years, for some of my best years of studying the Bible. I learned how to read the Bible in my teen years. I was digging in. I was hungry in those years. That was my true development when I was really starting to understand the Bible. I learned through then, and I've been reading the Bible since. I will tell you, literally every single day, if I will give it the time it needs, I will learn something every single day when I open the Bible. Let's be renewed in our minds and let it transform our lives. Worship team, you can come on up. I just want to pray for you all quick. That's kind of how I want to wrap this up. I really believe that God is doing something in our midst, and he wants to renew us, and he wants to do it as we would allow the patterns within the Bible and our patterns towards the Bible to shape our hearts and to shape our minds to think in a new way. And so I want to leave you with that. Today you may be a new believer, or maybe you've never been a believer before, and today you actually say, you know what, I think I want to follow Jesus. We would love for you to fill out a Connect card and let us know that. We'd love for you to bring it down and we can pray for you. And Pastor George is at the back. He'd love to pray for you. But we've got some of our pastoral team at the front, and we'd love to just sit with you and talk with you about that. Or after the first service, I chatted with a few people about apps for your phone that would help you find a Bible study to read and to stick to and to learn from. We can walk this through together. There's a number of people doing a one-year Bible in this church, which is exciting for me. Lots of people learning about God. Lots of people studying the Bible. And I believe as we do, we will be renewed. And in turn, our lives will be transformed. And maybe you've heard a million messages about the Bible. But I wonder, have you yet listened? So I know it's easy to say, I don't care about the Bible, but have you listened to it? Amazing how many people come into my office and say they're dealing with some sort of thing that is so far beyond what they can handle and just terribly challenging. And I'll ask them, often I ask them, so tell me about your devotion life. How's that? Oh, no. I need counseling, not the Bible. I need some sort of conference. I need a retreat, not the Bible. I just need the right person to walk alongside me, and then I'll be good. I don't need the Bible. But today I feel just compelled and convicted that I need to tell you this is what you need, because this will change your mind. And your mind will start to think the way that God wants your mind to think. And when your mind switches, your life, your perspective on your life changes. Your quality of life is determined by the perspective you have of it. Have a new look at your life through this lens. It might just change everything. It might just transform your world. But if you're not reading this, you can't see it that way. So why don't you start today by repeatedly going back to the Bible, concentrating on it, comprehending or doing your best, getting a study Bible or a friend to comprehend what it's saying, and then reflecting on what that would mean for you today and now, and for this church today and now. So I just want you to do it. I'm going to pray for you that you'd have strength to do it, because it's not easy, and you're going to go through really boring parts of the Bible. So just get that out of the way right away. Just like, let's all be clear, there are boring parts in the Bible. Amen. Next year, you might come back to that same part, and it might not be boring, though. It's funny how it changes that way. But there are going to be parts you're bored by. Are you willing to be bored so that you can renew your mind? Are you willing to walk through some boredom so that you can renew your mind? Because sometimes, like, let's be honest. If we're not willing to walk through boredom when we're only wanting the good feelings, how's that working so far, right? I just want good feelings. I just want to feel good. I want to feel like it's all good and happy and nice and steady. And I just want good feelings. That's all I want. Well, how's that working? Good feelings don't get us very far. I want you to have something steadier. I want you to have something more solid. I want you to have a new perspective. I want you to have a renewed mind to see things in a new way. Jesus, thank you that you give us a renewed mind. Thank you that this whole Bible points to you, that we can see you through it. But God, sometimes we're not recognizing you in our lives because of our own perception, our own ideas, our own patterns of thinking. And so God, I just pray that you would start to speak to us clearly through the Bible, Lord, would you just give us a gentle conviction today that if we haven't been touching this thing, we need to. And if we've been reading it looking for a one-word moment so that we can feel good and have something to stand on, Lord, I just pray that you would reveal to us that it's so much more than that. You want us to dig into this. You want us to study it. You want us to wash ourselves in it the same way that you wanted Moses to. And as we do, we know we'll see Jesus. And as we see Jesus, we know we'll see our circumstances, our lives, our challenges, our anxiety, our depression, all differently, God. Not that they will never exist anymore, but that we'll see them differently. We'll have strength in a different kind of way. We'll have comfort in a different kind of way. We'll have hope in a different kind of way. Teach us, Lord, to see you. Renew our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.